Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Talking foundations this month. How do we build our lives on solid footing? How do we find the rock to stand on so that when the storms come, we're going to still be standing at the end of it? And it's important stuff because we need to know this in order to have healthy relationships. We need to know these things and to be settled in our faith to really discern what's going on out there in the world and how to think about the issues that come our way. And boy, there's a lot of issues out there, isn't there?
There are.
So we want to spend the first month of this year really talking about the foundation. There's no other foundation that can be laid other than the person of Jesus Christ. And we're going to spend a few minutes in John chapter 1 today and really talk about Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's how John starts out his gospel account, and it really ties back to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. So John is going to be making a case that that same God that was in the beginning in Genesis is really the person of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And it's an amazing truth, an astonishing truth, one that surprises us. We would have never come up with that in a million years, but it's the way God so ordered things. So in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word was in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what do we know about the Word? The Word and God are one and the same.
Yes.
It's very clear in this particular passage. You drop down to verse 14, and it says, "And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So this Word became flesh, and we know him as Jesus Christ, that babe in the manger in Bethlehem. That was the incarnation, the moment in time in human history when God became one of us. So the Word became flesh. So what does that make Jesus? When he became a human being, did he no longer exist as God? Or did he exist as both fully God and fully man at the same time? Well, it's the latter, isn't it?
Yes. And that's all we can say.
Yes.
That's exactly what he is and was, and I can't explain it.
Right. We have a fancy theological term for it, hypostatic union.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah.
Today's word.
Yeah, that's right. two natures in one being. So
yes.
Divine nature, human nature, 100% deity, 100% God, 100% man in the body of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So he was God in human flesh. So when we think of Jesus walking through Israel, we have to think of him in terms of the name Emmanuel, God with us.
Yes.
So it was God among the people. And now that Jesus was resurrected and he ascended into heaven, he sent forth his Holy Spirit. He gives his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. So we can say Christ in us, our hope of glory. Well, who is that? Well, he is God himself.
Yes.
So when Jesus comes to take up residence in us, God is taking up residence in us. So wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, who's there with us?
Jesus is.
Jesus Christ is there with us. So we have to ask the question, if he's God, and the Word of God is very clear on that, Jesus is God, is he bigger than any problem that we will ever face in life?
I sure hope so.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's got to be that way.
Yeah. I mean, you've gone through the creation story, and I love, Richard, how you teach through that and the fact that God spoke.
Yes.
And things happened. Just the power of his word.
Yes.
And that God lives in us in the person of Jesus Christ, really in the person of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so,
but still God with us.
God with us, absolutely. So we're going to have a problem. We might have a relationship problem. We don't know how to deal with a unruly child or a rebellious child. And it's a big situation for us.
It is.
It is too overwhelming for our minds. It's, you know, we get kind of confused and all muddled and we don't know a path forward. But we're not in that situation alone if we're believers. Why? Because this word that was in the beginning and was with God and was God is now alive, living in us.
Yeah.
He's not confused about the situation. He's not confused about how to handle an unruly child or a rebellious child. He knows how to do that. And if we will learn to trust and abide in him, the wisdom that he brings to the table will start informing our minds, renewing our minds, giving us a sense of hope in the situation and a clear path forward. So when we're talking about trusting Jesus, you know, there was great confusion about his identity when he walked the earth some 2,000 years ago. He walked into the synagogue in Nazareth. He picked up the scroll. He read Isaiah 61, and then he laid it down, and he said, "This prophecy has been fulfilled in your hearing today." Mm-hmm. In other words, he was claiming to be the fulfillment of what Isaiah said. And everybody was incredulous about that. It's like, no, this can't be. He's just Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah.
He's just a person like we are. We know his family. We know his mom and dad. We know his brothers and sisters. So how can he be what he's claiming to be? Well, that's the great mystery, isn't it?
It is.
Jesus Christ is indeed, was indeed God in human flesh. And now he is alive, living in those who have come to know him by grace through faith. That is such great news, and we can trust him. So we're not just trusting a person from history. We're trusting the God who pre-existed, was before history ever began, who chose at a point in time to invade human history so that he could come and live in us. That's the good news of the gospel. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher along with Richard Pfeiffer. We welcome your call if you have a question about Jesus, his identity, how you can learn to trust him or trust him on a day-to-day basis. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. 844-322-2742 is the number, 844-322-2742. You know, Richard, a lot of people out there, and I was one of them, and I think you were too, had a lot of questions about Christianity. It just didn't seem to work too well for us. I know I got very frustrated at a point in time, just threw up my hands and said, you know, this just isn't working. I'm going to go and just do what the world has, you know.
I thought that, but I was afraid to say it.
But I did it. I jumped into the world thing, both feet. And, you know, that's a miserable experience as well. But underneath that frustration and all of those feelings was this underlying question. How is the Christian life really supposed to work? How are we supposed to tap into this new life that we have in Christ and experience it in abundance? How can we experience peace and joy and all of those things that the Word of God lays out as far as the Christian life is supposed to look like? And that was the question I had. And I know many, many believers are out there. That's why I wrote the book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. The subtitle is that question, how the Christian life is really supposed to work. We want to put this resource in your hands. If you have that same question, if you're frustrated with the Christian life, we want to put this resource in your hands and help answer those questions to eliminate your frustration and lets you move forward with a sense of hope, a purpose, of peace and joy in your heart, and a sense of abundance of life that God has given you in Christ Jesus. It's available as our way of saying thanks for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. To request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button and then just follow the instructions on how to make your contribution. And there's a box that says, please send me Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Just check that box. We'll get that book into your hands as quickly as we possibly can. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Again, the number 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742.
Oh, we got a phone call from Patrick a couple of days ago, and he is saying thank you, and I thought you might enjoy listening to it as well.
Hello, my name is Patrick, and I just wanted to thank you very much. I was listening to your message this afternoon, and everything that you had said is just completely true, and I was greatly encouraged by it. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and that is exactly true for everyone who believes. So, again, I just wanted to thank you. God bless.
Well, we always love comments like
sure.
that, and, you know, we need encouragement. We love to encourage others, and certainly the gospel itself is an encouragement in the life of people as they fully understand and embrace the good news of Jesus Christ. It's a deep encouragement, and we love it when people call us and say thanks because that encourages us as well. So, Patrick, thank you for that. And I love that he picked up on the gospel message.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of talk, a lot of programming on Christian radio dials. Much of it is issues oriented. We're talking about the issues of the day, concerns of the day, how to be a better this, how to be a better that, how to manage our money, and all those are vitally important issues. But oftentimes we miss the simplicity of the gospel and the power of the gospel. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that needs to, one, inform us. It then needs to renew us. It needs to shape us and then transform us.
Yeah.
That's kind of the sequence. So when we come to know Christ Jesus, we're made alive. Christ comes to live inside of us. Now we have truth inside of us.
Yes.
Well, this union that we have with Jesus, my spirit connected with his spirit, that's the seedbed of truth inside of me. That truth begins to inform my mind. My mind used to be filled with lies, with error, with things that weren't true. And now truth is going to hit that mind of mine. And how? By the Spirit of God within me, connected to my human spirit, and that coupled with the Word of God. That truth is going to start to inform my mind. And as it informs my mind, then it's going to start renewing my mind.
Yes.
So it's going to give me a whole new way of thinking. Now, this isn't something that just happens overnight, is it?
No.
It's a process. And so we need to allow the gospel to engage us in this process. So it begins to renew our mind, and then that renewed mind starts to shape how we perceive the world, gives us a different world view. It shapes how we start to think about the issues of the world. It shapes how the decision-making process. And as we step out in faith, as John the Apostle wrote in the third letter, walking in truth,
yes.
As we start to walk in truth, we see transformation occur. That's the process that this gospel moves us through. And it's a cycle, isn't it? I mean, the gospel's continually cycling us through this four-step process of informing, renewing, shaping, transforming. Starts again, informing, renewing, shaping, transforming. And we start to see this gospel message fill all the spaces of our soul, of our thinking, of our decision-making process. It's called growing in grace, growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the gospel is so vitally important to day-to-day living.
Yes, it is. Let me tie something together real quickly that you just said. There's, you know, how important truth is and how important it is for us to walk in truth. And then there's the realization that your word is truth. Jesus said that, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And then you realize, like we just read in John 1, that the Word was God, the Word was with God, the Word became flesh, the Word spoke the worlds into existence. If you've got truth, you've got Jesus himself speaking to you.
Yes.
And renewing your mind. Let that percolate a little bit and you realize some of the power you have available to you.
Absolutely. It's just the most mind-boggling reality that we can experience.
Yes.
But it is true. God with us in the person of Christ Jesus living in us.
Yes.
Well, 844-322-2742 is the number. Call right now if you'd like to be a part of today's broadcast. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Right now we're going to go to Garland, Texas, and talk with Jordan, listening to us on The Word today. Hi, Jordan.
Hi, how are you doing, guys?
We're doing fantastic. What's on your mind today?
I just wanted to make a quick comment. I had listened the previous 2 days. I'd heard your conversation and everything you had with Paul when he called in.
Yes.
And like, I just want to make a comment of how important it is that we continue to donate to programs and, you know, the gospel message like yours, because I was in a similar situation myself a few years ago. You know, I was raised in a Bible-believing church and a family and everything like that, but when I joined the military, I kind of strayed away from that. And, you know, a few years ago, I was on my way to work. I started a new job, and early in the morning, I was able to listen to, I caught J. Vernon McGee's program through the Bible. And because of that and able to hear that, you know, I've become a lot stronger in my faith and come back to it. And if it wasn't for people donating, you know, to programs like yours and his to keep this word going, you know, there's a lot of people out there that wouldn't get the message that need it. So I just wanted to, you know, make it, you know, reiterate the point that it's important that we do donate and, you know, keep encouraging you guys.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jordan.
Yes.
Are you still in the military?
No, sir. I'm out now.
Well, we certainly appreciate your service, and you stand as a veteran, and our country certainly owes you a debt of gratitude. But I certainly appreciate your call today and your sentiments. And, you know, radio is such a powerful medium. It's so personal. It's a one-to-one communication. So there may be thousands of people listening at any given moment, but, you know, the way it works, it's just one person on the radio talking to a listener out there, wherever that listener may be, in their car, in their house, in their office, just wherever that might be. And so that makes it really powerful. And also with radio, you don't have to pretend. You don't have to put a mask on. You don't have to, you know, walk in like most people do in churches and say, you know, how's everything going? Oh, it's just fine, when you know, full well that that's not the truth. So with radio, you don't have to pretend. You can be honest. You can be truthful. And in that truth, power, there's power there. You can really see the relevance of the gospel message and how it relates to your situation. So, Jordan, thank you so much for your call today and that encouragement. And what I'd like to do, Jordan, is put you on hold. We have a package that we actually send out to veterans to be an encouragement to them, and we would love to send that to you, my friend, if that's okay.
That's fine. I appreciate it. I appreciate everything you guys do.
Well, thank you, Jordan. You hold the line, and we'll get that to you.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
That's so cool.
That is. That is. Absolutely. It is really cool. And, you know, there have been many people that have come to Christ through, you know, radio programs, mm-hmm. or they've come to Christ and they've gotten discipled through various radio broadcasts. You know, it's the only place that a person can go and have daily input. You know, churches don't meet every single day. But with radio, there's that opportunity to get connected to a program that you like. and get constant daily input from the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful medium, and when folks support programs like ours, Basic Gospel, it's really an investment into that discipleship process, allowing the gospel message to engage people in their day-to-day lives and to grow them, mature them, and equip them to live by faith in this crazy world in which we live. So thank you, Jordan, and again, God bless you for your service. 844-322-2742 is the number, 844-322-2742. Do we have an email question?
We do. We do. From Tim, writing from Indianapolis. He's got a question about Hebrews 8:12, and I'm going to read his question, but I'm going to turn it a little bit because I think there's a more important issue here. Thanking God for you and the program, would you please discuss Hebrews 8:12? In my study, I find that God is merciful to our unrighteousness. He goes on to say, our sins and iniquities he will remember no more. Sins is to miss the mark. Iniquities, contempt, violation of the law, or iniquity, wickedness. Unrighteousness, a deed violating the law. Breaking down these words, unrighteousness, sins, and iniquities all seem to be very close in definition. I notice the King James Version is the only version that lists all three words. Other versions vary from one to another as to what word they leave out. How are these words and definitions related to all that we are forgiven of and that God will remember no more? Now, here's going to be my little twist on it. There are technical reasons for why words show up in various translations, and it has to do with sources. So we're not going to talk about sources today. King James used slightly different sources than many of the new modern translations. That's a comment for another time. I think the key to this passage is what we've been talking about all day today. What is the Word saying? What does Jesus himself say about this? And whether it's two words for sins and iniquities or it's three words, what is Jesus saying? He's saying their sins and lawless acts I remember no more. That's the key point.
You're exactly right. And, you know, there's, you know, sin is missing the mark. We think of it in terms of missing the mark as it relates to the law, those Ten Commandments. We've missed the mark. You know, you can just hold out the Ten Commandments, and then you can look at your life, and you can see that, the two don't coincide at all. Yeah. And so that proves that you're a sinner, which tells you that you need a Savior, right?
Yes.
So there's that. We've missed the mark. James that said sin is lawlessness, a violation of the law. But it's really a violation of missing the mark of our real design as human beings. We were designed to be image bearers. We were designed, created in the image of God. And we lost that. We lost that position when sin entered. And we became sinners. We no longer reflect the glory of God. That's been restored to us. But to restore that, God had to do something with the sin issue.
Yes.
With the wickedness that flows from hearts of unbelief.
He had to do so in its entirety.
Absolutely. And so that's why all of those words are there, that we see that God did something with all of it. Not just some of it, but all of it. So that he could restore us back to life, so that he could give us life, so that he, Jesus, God himself, could come and live in us and live his life through us. And as he lives his life through us, we are right back to the garden, how God created Adam and Eve. We begin to reflect the very image and glory of God out there into a lost and dying world. So God remembers our sins no more. Talk about good news. That is good news. And it's all because of the work of Jesus Christ, the one who existed before the worlds even began, at an appointed time, became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We'll be back for a teaching edition tomorrow. Our lesson tomorrow is how to live a Sunday life in a Friday world. You don't want to miss that. But we'll be back tomorrow. Now for Richard and the entire ministry team, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long from Lewisville, Texas.